thrust upon him. Now, when I think about my conversion, that's the way I was converted to the Lord. I didn't have a mom or dad that loved God. I didn't have a mom or dad that prayed. But it seemed like the moment was thrust upon me. And I found myself in the presence of God. And I didn't deserve it. I lived the life that I wanted to live. But whenever I was exposed to the presence of God, it changed my life forever. I was an outsider looking in. I was the son of an alcoholic man and an alcoholic woman. I did not deserve the presence of God in my life. I don't know why Jesus came, but I'm sure glad he did. Amen. I don't know why he loved me, but I'm sure glad he did. And so this man who did not have any right to the moment was thrust into the moment. Amen. And, it is beautiful because the Bible said that God blessed the household of Obed-Edom. And when we read this at the point in Scripture, we just really don't understand just how much that God did bless the household of Obed-Edom. You have to read chapter and chapter and chapter and chapter. And tonight I'm going to kind of give you a Reader's Digest version of what happened in the household of Obed-Edom and what made Obed-Edom such a wonderful man of God. For 3 months, the holiest item on this earth resided in his house until one day, David come to get it. And when David came to get it, he made up his mind, I'm going to do it right this time. We made a mistake when we tried to bring it from Abinadab's house. Well, we know how to, we know a little bit better now. And so he comes and when David decided to do it, he decided to do it in style. And so the priest would not touch it, but they would carry it on staves. And along with the priest, David would assemble 4,000 singers and 288 musicians to bring the Ark of the Covenant back home from Obed-Edom's house. And so David went to work setting all of this up, and he started asking for volunteers, for singers. And that can be dangerous in any church or any place. But he asked for volunteers for singers. And when you read the Word of God, you notice that one of the first people that volunteered to be a singer was this man called Obed-Edom. We don't even know if he could carry a tune in a bucket, but he raised his hand and said, "Count me in, coach. I want to be used of God." Now, this guy was a Philistine. This guy was an outsider looking in, but something had happened in his life. For 3 months, the presence of God was in his house. And there was something about the presence of God that moved in Obed-Edom's heart. Obed-Edom fell in love with the presence of God. Obed-Edom wanted, whenever that ark went to go leave his house, he made up in his mind, it may leave my house, but I'm going to follow God wherever it may lead me. And so Obed-Edom said, I will volunteer to be one of the singers. Amen. And because 3 months, this thing dwelt in his house. And God had blessed his house. But it didn't bless Abinadab's house. Because there's something beautiful about the soul, and Pastor touched on it here. There's something beautiful about people that do things because they have to, versus doing things because they love God. Amen. All right. Amen. It was Abinadab's duty because he was a Levite. It was Abinadab's duty to make provision for the Ark of the Covenant. He was doing it out of duty, but Obed-Edom did it because he loved God, and he wanted to make room in his house for the presence of God. He may not have understood it. He may not have knew what was going on. But the time that the presence of God got in his life, he would never be the same. And if you ever let the Holy Ghost touch you where you are, touch you in your heart, touch you in your mind, you will never be the same again. Praise God. And so he volunteers. Then David set out to find volunteers to play the psaltery. And again, it's the same guy, Obed-Edom, who would be one of the first people to jump up and say, "Hey, I'll play the psaltery." Now, I don't know if he could play or not. He may have had the attitude, "How hard could it be to learn? I'm just going to make myself available to do whatever I can for the cause of God." I'm preaching this tonight because you may ask yourself, what can I do in the house of the Lord? What can I do? I don't have much education. I don't know how much money. I don't have much ability. But I want to do something for God. And I want to tell you today that everybody in this house can find a place, can find something to do in the kingdom. Amen. If you want to be used of God, get with this pastor. Amen. He'll find you something to do for the kingdom of God. If you got a want to, Brother Oggs used to say, you got to have a want to. And when you got a want to, anything can happen. Praise God. And so Obed-Edom, he volunteered for this. And then David called for volunteers to play the harp. And guess what? One of the first people that jumped up and say, "Hey, count me in, coach," was this guy named Obed-Edom. Now, man, either this guy was really, really talented, or he had a real desire to do something for God, and he was willing to learn. So, you know, even if you don't know what your purpose and what you can do in the house of God, you can learn. Amen. You can learn, you can grow into a calling. Amen. Don't let your inability disqualify you. Amen. Apply yourself and God will use you and you can grow into a ministry if you just make yourself available. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So Obed-Edom, he does this. And, you know, it was just like Obed-Edom was making a statement to everybody. I am addicted to the presence of God. I don't want the presence of God to leave me. It left my house, but I don't want it to leave my heart. I left my address, but I don't want it to leave my company. Amen. I am addicted to the presence of God. I will follow it wherever it goes. Amen. I want to be in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. Amen. Amen. I may not be the best, but I'm going to give it my best. And the Bible says, going on chapters and chapters and chapters, the Bible says that he joined the second degree choir. Asaph came up to him one day and said, "Hey, buddy," and I'm paraphrasing, I can really use you better over here singing with this group. Maybe he wasn't quite good enough to be in the first string choir, but that didn't matter to Obed-Edom. He didn't have to be number one. He didn't have to be on the front row. He didn't have to have his name in lights. And when Asaph said, "Listen, I can use you over here in a lesser calling," it didn't bother him. It didn't disturb him. All he knew is he wanted to serve God. Amen. He was willing to be a doorkeeper. He was willing to be a janitor. He was willing to be whatever he could be just to be used of God. Amen. And so he is in the choir. And Obed-Edom kept on serving in whatever role that he volunteered for and was accepted in faithfully. Then one day a very important job came open. Notice this. If you'll be faithful in the small things, God will open doors for you in bigger things. And so there was a job that came open for four men. The city walls had been built and they needed four gatekeepers. They needed porters. One for the north, one for the south, one for the east, and one for the west. And each of these men would be in charge of 1,000 men. One of these gates was the door to the city that guarded them from their enemy to the south, which was Egypt. And the gate that was closest to the king's treasure, but also into where the entrance of the ark was resting. Obed-Edom knew, if I volunteer for this job, I may get to be close to the ark once again. But even if my name is not called for that particular gate, I'm willing to serve in whatever capacity that I can be put into. Amen. And so names were drawn by lot. Amen. And guess whose name was what was picked from that lot? Amen. All these, I don't know how many names were put in the hat. There's probably hundreds of names that were put in the hat. But God somehow rewarded Obed-Edom, and his name was drawn, amen, to be a porter. But before that, there was drawings for other gates, and the lesser gate, and one of those gates was for the dump, the gate which led to the dump, to the city, where all the refuge and all of the dead carcasses and everything would be carried out. And that was the lesser of the gates. But he was willing to even do that. He was willing to put his hat in the drawing, even if he got the garbage gate. But the gates were called the north, south, east, and west. But before that last drawing, which was the key gate, which was the south gate, Obed-Edom's name was not called, but when it came to the most important gate, Obed-Edom's name was called. Amen. And he became the keeper of the east gate, the north gate, and so the south gate, I'm sorry. Obed-Edom became a great man. God gave Obed-Edom 8 sons. Notice this. God blessed Obed-Edom with 8 sons, and his sons became mighty men of valor. Obed-Edom, the outcast, the Philistine, the nobody, became a second-degree Levite over the things of God. It was as if God was saying, son, because you watched over my ark while it was in your house, I will now trust you to watch over the ark in my temple. Amen. God had rewarded Obed-Edom. And God was saying, because you proved yourself at home, you will stand before me now in this city. Notice this, 38,000 Levites, 24 creeds of the priesthood, 4,000 singers, and 288 musicians. And somewhere in the middle of all of those people stood one man who simply fell in love with the presence of God. He was a nobody. He was in our evaluation, in our comparison, he was a dopehead. He was an alcoholic. He was an outcast. But because he loved God, and because he applied himself, and because he had a hunger to be used of God, God honored that hunger. And I'm telling you here today, if you've got a desire to work for God, if you've got a desire to serve God, God will make a way for you. If you'll make yourself available. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Praise God. Amen. 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 And I want you to notice something here. In Psalms 24, 3, 4, and 5. Most theologians believe. And even the the Jewish writers attest to the fact that these three scriptures were written by David to honor Obed-Edom. Notice this. Psalms 24, 3 through 4 and 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his voice unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessings of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. These verses of scriptures were written with Obed-Edom in mind to honor the integrity of a man that simply made himself available and loved God with all of his heart. Amen. These were written in honor. See, David noticed every time Obed-Edom volunteered for something, David took note of it. But more importantly, God took note of it. God saw his willingness. God saw his desire. God saw his hunger. And I'm telling you, brother, if you will make yourself available, there is no telling what God can do in your life. Amen. Amen. Come against the devil that tells you that you're nobody. You're somebody. Amen. God wants to use you. God loves you. And you're here today because God has got you in his crosshairs. Praise God. Amen. David had watched him, but more importantly, God had watched him. Notice this. When his sons were born, notice the meaning of the names of his sons. His first son meant, whom God hath heard. Another son, Jehovah gave me this son. Another son, Jehovah is my helper. Another son, this is the wages of the Lord. Another son, people of God. Another son, whose God he is. And notice the name of the last son. For hire to God, we are available to you. All of these sons of Obed-Edom. Now, 1 Chronicles 26 and 8. This is beautiful. Brother, I don't know if you can get that up there quick. 1 Chronicles 26 and 8. Notice this. All these of the sons of Obed-Edom, they and their sons and their brethren, able men for the strength for the service, were 62 of Obed-Edom. 62 of his downline. Listen to this. 62 of his downline made themselves available and were used of God. This man had a heritage. He was a man that his children looked at him and respected him. His grandchildren looked at him and respected him. Then there was something about Obed-Edom's love for God that spilled over into his bloodline. Amen. That's my challenge. I don't know about you. Amen. But this is what I want for my family. This is what I want for my children. I want them to see the love of God in my life to where they'll want to live for God. I want my grandchildren to live for God. Amen. Somebody's got to start. Somebody's got to be an example. Somebody's got to love God. Amen. And so notice this. 62 of his bloodline made themselves available. Amen. God, now you see how God blessed the household of Obed-Edom?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And we're not finished. Over 240 years later, as King Hezekiah looked at the house of God that had been destroyed due to the sins past, he looked around and he declared, who will help me clean this up? And who will help me make all of this right? And from the midst of all of the rubble, from the midst of all of the chaos, A direct descendant of Obed-Edom stood up and said, "Here I am, use me." All of these men came after him and were influenced by his life. He was an influencer by the way he lived. Amen. And the way he lived was based on his hunger to serve and please God. Praise God. Amen. And so, my brothers, I present to you a picture framed and encased of a just man, a picture of a just man made perfect. A man that lived in such a way that other people were influenced by his life. A man that loved God in such a way that his children raised up and called him blessed. That his grandchildren wanted to live like Papa. Amen. His descendants wanted to follow in his footsteps. Amen. A just man that was made perfect by the fact that he lived for God and he encouraged others to do so himself. So I ask you today, are you one of the descendants of Obed-Edom? Are you here today? Are you a man or a woman that wants to make yourself available? Are you one of those that simply want to be used of God? You are tired of just being just sitting and not being involved. You want to be used. You want to do something. Amen. You want to serve the Lord with gladness in some kind of way. I'm telling you, this is your day. This is your hour. Amen. It's time. I'm telling you, God is going to take this church to another dimension. Revival is coming. Growth is coming. Amen. And I want to be a part of it. Do you want to be a part of it? Amen. Stand to your feet and say, God, use me. Lord, I make myself available. I'm available, God. I am available to be used of God. I am available, God. No matter what you want to do with me, Lord, I want to make myself available. In the name of Jesus, let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise right now. Come on, let's love him right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I want to be used of God. I am available. Pastor, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You make yourself available and God will use you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you love him with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Lord, for all that you're doing, God, all that you've done. Lord, for your great glory. God, have your way in our midst. And thank you, God, for your favor. Hallelujah, wonderful Savior. I praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Can you say Obed-Edom? Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom. Praise the Lord. I hope you remember who he is. I want to serve God. Amen. God bless you so much. Amen. Tomorrow night I'm preaching. Address on the back of this card. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.